I thank God for all who have led us in worship on this Easter Sunday. We are continuing a sermon series called Formed by Following, Authentic Discipleship. Today, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and the title of my sermon is Choose Your Own Adventure. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When I was in third grade, I discovered a cool new type of book. It's called a Choose Your Own Adventure book. Instead of reading a basic story from beginning to end, these books allow you to choose how you want the story to go. At certain points in the plot, the reader is presented with different options to choose from. For example, say in the story there's a little boy who comes upon a swimming lake on one side and a path into the woods on the other side. The story might say, turn to page 12 to jump in the swimming lake, or turn to page 19 to take the path into the woods. Once you turn to the page you choose, you pick up the story from there for a while until you come to another fork in the road and choose the next adventure. As a young reader, I found it invigorating and exciting to get to choose the turns in the storyline. After reading through a Choose Your Own Adventure book, I would often go back to the beginning and read it again, except I'd make different choices about the plot line to see what I had missed before. Sometimes I was happy with my first choice of storyline, and other times I was happier with my second choice. What's cool about these books is that the author doesn't have all the power in how the story plays out. The reader has a say in the matter. The story is not just about the author's preferences. It also incorporates the reader's decisions. The end of Mark's gospel is similar. In many modern Bible translations, it has a choose-your-own-adventure ending. It's important to realize that the Bibles we have today are compilations of ancient manuscripts translated into English. And it turns out that the ancient manuscripts of Mark's gospel have different endings. Some of the manuscripts end at verse 8. Some of the manuscripts include a shorter ending after verse 8. And some of the manuscripts include a longer ending, verses 9 through 20. Many modern Bibles include all three of these endings by way of footnotes or brackets. For example, the Pew Bibles that we used here at church before the pandemic have the gospel end at verse 8, and then have the shorter ending of Mark after that in brackets, and then have the longer ending, verses 9 through 20, in brackets. Now, the shorter ending of Mark is not very well known. It says that the women who had discovered the empty tomb went and reported the angel's instructions to Peter and the other disciples. Then Jesus sent out through them the proclamation of eternal salvation. The longer ending of Mark is more widely known because it's featured in the King James Version. It says, Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, and they did not believe her. So Jesus appeared to the disciples, rebuked them for their unbelief, and told them to preach the gospel to all creation. He said they'd be able to cast out demons, speak in tongues, heal people's diseases, and even handle serpents and drink deadly poison without suffering harm. Then Jesus went to heaven, and the disciples preached the gospel everywhere. So, should we stop reading at verse 8 and say Mark is over? Should we read the shorter ending after verse 8 and say Mark is over? Or should we read the longer ending, verses 9 through 20, and say Mark is over? Well, only a few late manuscripts have the shorter ending of Mark, so that is not the best choice. Several ancient manuscripts have the longer ending, verses 9 through 20, but the earliest and best manuscripts of Mark's gospel end at verse 8. Furthermore, verses 9 through 20 do not fit Mark's writing style or theology very well, and early Christian writers in the 2nd and 3rd centuries show no knowledge of verses 9 through 20. The evidence on the whole, therefore, indicates that Mark's gospel originally ended at verse 8. That's the ending I choose to read. But even if we agree that Mark's gospel ends at verse 8, it's still a choose-your-own-adventure situation. Verse 8 says, "The women left the empty tomb and said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." The Greek word order at the end is, "They were afraid for." That's right, English teachers. Mark's gospel ends with a preposition. It leaves us hanging, begging for more. What happened after that? What did the women do next? The original Mark doesn't say. He leaves us with the women scared silent. It is not a proper ending. It's more like the story just stops. There's no wrap-up. There's no conclusion. There's no closure. There's no happily ever after. Everything is left up in the air. It's almost as if Mark's original story ends with ellipsis points. They were afraid, dot, dot, dot. I think Mark leaves us with the women running off scared because he wants to put us in their shoes. He wants us to choose our own adventure. He asks us to decide not how the book will conclude, but how the story will continue. One thing I didn't mention earlier about the Choose Your Own Adventure books is that they're written in the second person. The stories are about you. You have to decide whether you are going to go jump in the swimming lake or follow the path into the woods. You have to decide which way you are going to go at every fork in the road. Your decisions are for you, not for another character in the story. Mark's gospel is similar. It's not just about ancient believers. It's not just about Mary and Salome and Peter and the other disciples. It's about you. It's about me. It's about us. Mark cuts off the story with the women running from the tomb because we have all the information we need. We know Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin, and he was buried. We know that after the Sabbath was over, some women brought spices to anoint his body. They didn't realize God had already anointed him as the death-defeating Savior. When they arrived at the tomb early, they found out that the morning sun wasn't the only thing that had risen. The darkness of the crucifixion had given way to the sparkling dawn of the resurrection. The women worried about who would roll the stone away, but God had already taken care of that. If death couldn't hold Jesus down, there's no way a stone could hold him in. When the women entered the tomb, Jesus' body was gone. There was an angel saying, "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. Go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you'll see him there just as he told you." That's when the women fled, silent and scared. We know that at some point they told somebody the story, because otherwise we wouldn't have it. Somehow, some way, at some time, they overcame their fear and shared the good news. We can be confident that the story is true, too. In that day and time, you see, women were not allowed to give testimony in court because they were considered unreliable witnesses. Mark would never fabricate a story in which women were the key witnesses, not if he wanted anyone back then to believe it. Mark told the story as he did because that is how things happened on that pivotal Sunday morning so long ago. God ordained that these remarkable women be the first to discover the empty tomb, and the first to declare the good news of Christ's resurrection. In the place where Jesus' body had been laid, the women found nothing. And that means everything. Jesus' absence from the cemetery confirms his presence with us. As the women exit stage left, Mark ushers us onto the scene, stage right. We are the next act. We have the good news. Our lives form the next chapter. Do we believe, or do we walk in unbelief? Do we have faith, or do we give way to fear? Do we remain silent, or do we tell the good news? Do we follow the risen Jesus, or do we just do whatever we want with our lives? Do we anticipate everlasting life, or do we find no hope beyond the grave? Jesus is ready for us to choose faith and follow him. In fact, verse 7 says, he goes ahead of us. The Greek term is proagein, which means Jesus is leading us. Ancient writers used this term to describe leading troops forward. The idea is that it's time to march forward as disciples of the risen Christ, the Prince of Peace, the death-conquering King. We won't find Jesus if we stare at the empty tomb and wait for proof. He has moved on with his mission, and he wants us to come along and participate in it. We've got an empty tomb and an angel's announcement that Jesus has risen from the dead. And based on that evidence, Jesus wants us to start walking in faith. He's ready to go. It's important to understand that Jesus is more interested in our future than our past. Notice that the angel says in verse 7, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." He singles out Peter because Peter had denied Christ 3 times the previous Friday, and he wanted Peter to know there was still room for him in the gospel story. Peter had forsaken his relationship with Jesus, yet Jesus wanted him back. Peter had disowned Jesus, yet Jesus welcomed him back. No matter how miserably we might have failed Christ, he wants us to be with him. No matter how regrettable our past decisions, Christ is interested in our future with him. No matter how backwards we might be, spiritually speaking, Christ is calling us forward. If you have strayed from Christ, there is still room for you in the gospel story. If the story of your life has gotten off track, go back and try a different plot line. See what you missed before. Choose a different adventure. Follow Christ, and you won't regret it. It will be the best storyline your life could ever take. Mark's abrupt ending signals that it's just the beginning of the gospel. Mark's ending is really no ending at all because the gospel is just starting. Your life can either stall the gospel plotline or carry it forward. You can live in God's amazing love for you or not. You can live in Christ's abundant forgiveness or not. You can live with the hope of everlasting life or not. You can live in resurrection joy or not. You can walk with a risen Savior who will never leave you or forsake you or not. You can follow Christ in love for God and love for neighbor or not. You can be a disciple of the risen King who reigns with justice, righteousness, and peace or not. You can believe in the crucified and resurrected Son of God and experience life abundant on earth and life eternal in heaven or not. I can't tell you what to do. It's your story, and it's time to choose your own adventure. Amen.